Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 81 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of The Sporting News, The Athletic, CubsInsider.com, and Bet Chicago. And I'm coming to you with a Cubs victory podcast. Apologies for missing yesterday. I woke up with a little bit of a sore throat, maybe some para-influenza virus. Needed to take a DL stint for a day. But back here with you on Friday, getting you that last podcast for you to listen to before heading into the weekend. And we'll recap the last 2 days for the Cubs, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the Yu Darvish news that's happened, and I'll go over what I blame for all of this controversy with Yu Darvish, and then we'll do our typical around the NL Central and update the standings at the end. So the Cubs lost 2-1 in their finale in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, and some fireworks happened in the third inning. Pirates pitcher Joe Musgrove slid hard into Javier Baez at second base, causing the benches to clear. In general, the Pirates went maybe a little too far in their retaliation to Rizzo's slide at home plate on Monday. They plunked Wilson Contreras a handful of times at the plate in addition to the Joe Musgrove slide. And if you haven't read it, Kelly Wallace wrote something that we put up at Locked On Cubs, I think it was yesterday, where she did an interview with Michael Teeven, who's vice president of communications for MLB. And he talked about slides and how they review, what happened on the field. And it's really interesting stuff. Go take a look if you haven't. I'll link to that in the description. The Cubs took 2 out of 3 from the Pirates on the road, which is what you want. So that's really the big takeaway from the series. There's still some bad blood between these two teams, but the Cubs don't play the Pirates for another week or so. They welcome them back at Wrigley Field, and hopefully by then there'll be a little bit more space between the two in the division, and the Pirates will really just need to be focusing on trying to grab wins rather than puffing up their chest in that series. Last night, Jose Quintana was excellent against the Mets. He tossed 6 shutout innings. Zobrist and Hayward hit 1-2 in front of Bryant and Rizzo, and they combined to go 5-for-10 at the plate with 3 RBI. The big blow was a 2-run homer by Zobrist in an eventual 5-1 Cubs victory. And it's also worth noting that Jason Hayward has compiled 8 hits in the last 3 games. The Cubs will continue their series against the Mets tonight, playing at 6:10 Central Time. Tyler Chatwood will take the mound against Zach Wheeler, who has struggled so far this season. After missing most of the last 3 seasons on the mound, Wheeler has been hit hard for the Mets this year. He has a 5.40 ERA in 9 starts, and combined over the last 2 seasons, he has a 5.28 ERA with a 1.55 whip in 136 innings since returning to the big leagues in 2017. Chatwood, of course, struggles with the fact that he walks too many guys, way too many guys. But apparently he has made some minor mechanical change in his delivery, so it's worth seeing whether he can get back to being a guy who just walks a few too many guys. The game will be broadcast tonight on NBC Sports Chicago Plus. All right, let's go to our second segment. So Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times talked to new Cubs catcher Chris Jimenez about Yu Darvish. And Jimenez offered up some pretty interesting information. Here is a key passage from Greenberg's article, and it's basically straight from Jimenez. He thinks, talking about Yu Darvish, that Chicago hates him for going on the DL a couple of times. I've tried to portray to him, listen, they're going to love you when we get to October and we're doing the things that we all want to do here. You're the main reason we're going to be riding you all the way through it. So don't worry about them getting mad at you on Twitter in May. Worry about when we get to September, October, and they're chanting your name. So I have a lot of thoughts here. The first is, it probably wasn't smart of Jimenez to offer up this information. This is his first experience with the Chicago media and how they cover the Cubs. And admitting that Darvish is sensitive and cares what people think is only going to make it worse. Personally, for me, I think that's great. That means he's human. We all care what people think about us. We all care what they say. You know, for as many athletes as we say, oh, that guy doesn't care, or, you know, he doesn't He doesn't care what the fans think. He doesn't care what people think. He's just there to collect a paycheck. This is a guy who legitimately cares and really wants to do well. So anyone who's ripping him for that or calling him soft can, you know, GTFO, because this is an athlete who actually cares. And, you know, he has a track record of being good, and he's had a couple misfortunes early this year. And that's really what has been the problem for him. And it's only been 2 months. This is only 2 months of a season. Now, obviously, the season can continue to unravel and just be a lost year for him at worst. But, you know, give it a little more time. It's only been 2 months. So this all started with a dumb column from the Chicago Tribune's David Haugh, which I don't think is worth reading. It's a flaming hot take created simply to get people to click on web pages and buy newspapers. Do not read it. But here is a particularly spicy section of what Haugh wrote when the Cubs placed Darvish on the 10-day DL with the parainfluenza virus. We respect grit and praise perseverance. We glorify gutsy performances and have no tolerance for timidity. How many Chicagoans asked themselves Monday night, who misses 10 days of work with the flu? Nothing about skipping a start with the parainfluenza virus. It offers a ringing endorsement for Darvish's physical or mental toughness. It only fed the perception that Darvish is softer than the hot pretzels sold at Wrigley Field. It reinforced the notion that Darvish requires perfect conditions to pitch, a baseball diva who equates illness with injury. It was a bad look at the very least. This is Chicago meatball fan garbage. Haugh even mentions in the column that this is most likely the Cubs manipulating the shorter 10-day DL to help out their bullpen while simultaneously giving a struggling starter a few extra days of rest. They essentially skipped one of Darvish's starts and, because of the schedule, didn't need to call up another starter for that turn. It was a no-brainer for the situation, and it was good for everybody involved. But here in Chicago, we're supposed to see it as calling in 10 days straight with the flu. We're supposed to see it through the lens of the tough Chicago job, like a construction worker or a police officer or a guy who almost never shows up to the ballpark or talks to players but writes Sunday columns from the comfort of his office chair. So now that Darvish has made a second DL stint, this time with an actual physical limitation, Darvish is really hearing it from media adults like David Haugh, and fans that see how much money he makes, see the solid performance thus far from Jake Arrieta, and they get frustrated. And I get being frustrated with Darvish's performance to this point. It's coincided with the Cubs not performing up to your expectations. It's coincided with a frustrating offense that sometimes just goes through stretches where they don't score. It's coincided with sitting 4 games back of the Milwaukee Brewers. So I get it. You want to be able to blame Darvish for some of this, and some of it is his fault. But I can't tell you how many people who have tweeted at me that Yu Darvish is a bust. This was prior to today, which is June 1st of the first year of his 6-year contract. That's a little early to be calling him a bust, don't you think? The point here is this. Don't fall for Haugh's tactics. His shtick has always been and will always be stirring the pot. Don't think for a second that he doesn't see how much money a guy like Skip Bayless made at ESPN and currently makes at FS1 by spouting this insane crap all day. Bayless, it should also be pointed out, was once just a regular columnist at the Chicago Tribune, I believe. Maybe it was the Sun-Times, but just like Haugh. Basically the same exact job in the same town as David Haugh. That's all that's happening here. It's just one of many bad opinions by a guy who is trying to make it in his own chosen line of work, and he knows what people want to click. So don't judge Yu Darvish. Don't fall into the David Haugh trap where, you know, this was always going to be the thing. I mean, it went through with John Lester too. Remember the early headlines about John Lester when he had the dead arm thing and then didn't pitch well on opening day against the Cardinals in 2015, right after signing the $155 million contract And the Sun-Times headline referred to him as $155 million pitcher. That was insane crap, too. That was all to, you know, spin a bad narrative and, you know, spin this idea that this guy isn't living up to his contract early on. I mean, come on. We have to be smarter than this as fans. I get that the average fan is probably not the one listening to a 15 to 20 minute practically daily Cubs podcast. But I would hope that you guys are smarter than this. I would hope that you guys see through this veil that not everybody. There are a lot of really great people in the Chicago media who cover the Cubs, but there's a handful of them that are trying to push this narrative that they believe draws the most readers. And I'm guessing that it probably does. I've been in media and doing various media long enough that I know that, you know, what my day job, I write a lot of entertainment stuff for my day job. And at my day job, the basic rule of thumb is if I'm writing like a listicle, the 10 worst blah, blah, blah is always going to draw more eyes than the 10 best blah, blah, blah. If you see what I'm saying. So people read the worst. They want the negative. That's what people click on. That's what people want to read. The Sun-Times and the Tribune know this, and they've applied this to the Cubs. People want to read a negative angle. It's not like that everywhere. For some reason, Cardinals fans, the St. Louis newspaper and the people who cover St. Louis, they've discovered that Cardinals fans don't want to read the negative. They want constant positive. So down there, it's the opposite problem. You have a lot of media who cover the Cardinals in an extremely positive way, and really kind of gloss over a lot of the problems that go on there. It's not everybody, but there are some writers, and if you read media and you read outside Chicago stuff, you know what I'm talking about. There are some that are just insanely positive about the Cardinals all the time, in the same way that Chicago media is insanely negative about the Cubs. But let's not, you know, again, it's not everybody. There are a handful of really great writers who cover the Cubs that I think you should be reading. You know, obviously you'll be reading my work, I would hope, at Bet Chicago when I'm back on the kind of the Cubs beat. But you know, guys like Sahadev Sharma, The Athletic, Patrick Mooney, also at The Athletic, Bruce Miles of the Daily Herald, Tony Andracki with CSN Chicago. These are all good people who do a really good job covering the Cubs in a very fair way. So to finish out this kind of Yu Darvish rant and about the Chicago media, if you're giving your clicks to anyone who's covering the Cubs, try and make it be those people. Those guys do really honest work, and their stuff is worth reading. So to finish out around the NL Central, the first place Brewers beat the Cardinals on Wednesday, but they were off yesterday. Their victory on Wednesday included a late two-run rally that involved a Christian Yelich home run. Alex Reyes pitched four innings of shutout ball in his Cardinals return from Tommy John surgery, but unfortunately, he landed back on the DL after the game with a lat strain. The Cardinals did play on Thursday, and they beat the Pirates with a thrilling ninth-inning rally. St. Louis trailed 8-5 in the ninth at home, but they finished by scoring five runs without giving up an out. Felipe Vázquez blew the game for Pittsburgh, and the finishing blow was a Yairo Muñoz three-run homer to center field. The Reds were off on Thursday, but they won Wednesday against the Arizona Diamondbacks by a score of 7-4. The D-backs took an early 4-0 lead in that game, but a grand slam by Adam Duvall tied the game, and the Reds went on to score three more times to snatch the victory. Arizona has really fallen off, despite taking 2 out of 3 from the Reds. After starting the season 24-11, the D-backs are just 4-15 in their last 19 games. So here are the updated NL Central standings as of Friday morning. The Idle Brewers remain at 36-21, four games up on the second place Cubs. Milwaukee starts a three-game set with the White Sox tonight. The Cubs are alone in second place at 30-23. The Cardinals are in third at 30-24, 4.5 games back. The Pirates are in fourth at 29-27, which is 6.5 back. And the Reds are 20-37, still 16 out of first place. Thanks for listening, guys. I know I kind of ranted a little bit about Chicago media in the middle section, but some of that had to be done. I just can't sit back and watch You know, I try and leave it alone because I am a member of the media to my own degree. I do my own writing for reputable media outlets. I'm not there every day, but I do go in there and I talk to the players, and I hope people would hold me accountable if I had some sort of flaming hot take like this, that you wouldn't just let me get away with it. So I just couldn't not say anything about that, because it's dishonest. It's disingenuous to make that kind of opinion and put that out there. You're really just pandering to the lowest common denominator. The vast majority of people who read newspapers and still go to the Chicago Tribune for their Cubs information are people who want to read that kind of thing. But you know, don't take that seriously. Don't allow, we can't allow that kind of thing to get into a player's head and fuel, because this is how it works. It fuels the fan base. People go on Twitter and they tag you, Darvish, and his Twitter account, and say bad things about him because they read some bullshit by David Haw in the Tribune, and Yu Darvish sees that, because as Chris Jimenez said in the article by Greenberg, all the players do see that stuff on social media. They see, if they're not responding to you, they do see it, and it bothers them, and it bothers Yu Darvish, and it upsets him. It makes him feel like he's not wanted here. And if you're a Cubs fan who was cheering when they signed him, don't be acting that way, because this is a talented player who you want pitching well on your side. So don't be a jerk on Twitter. That's got to be, like, I know rule number one is don't tweet, but rule number two is don't be a jerk on Twitter. That's all I've got to say on that subject. So thanks again for listening. This has been episode 81 of Locked On Cubs. I'm Ryan Davis. I work for Sporting News and The Athletic, both somewhat infrequently, but you know, when I can. I'll be doing Bet Chicago coming up soon, which will be Cubs and White Sox coverage. I should be having my first for Bet Chicago out next Tuesday morning. That'll be on Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish and Arrieta's return to Chicago. So keep an eye out for that. Thanks, guys. I will talk to you again next week.